Remember the sounds of the priest's word.
Young people, don't let your teacher or anyone else sell you on the thought and mindset that evolution is true. That we evolved from a lower animal, for the Bible teaches it's not so. And we got to believe what the Word of God says. Now let me say this. The other day, it's been 3 months ago, I guess, I was talking to my medical doctor. And I told her, I asked her a question, I said, do you believe in evolution? And she says, yeah, I believe in evolution because I don't want to go against science. And I said to her, Margie, I don't want you to go against science because scientific law is from God Almighty. Now listen to me, young people, tonight as we speak. We're not going to go against known laws of science. We're going to act in harmony with the known laws of science, plus we're going to act in harmony with the teachings of God's Word. You and I are under obligation to draw only those conclusions which are warranted by the evidence. Now, you can obligate me, young folks, if you got a teacher, a professor, that would love to discuss publicly this issue, I'd be tickled to death to do it. Because truth will stand. They have no evidence. We're not afraid of anything they will present. They have no mechanism that will make evolution work. They don't have it now, and they never will have it. And as we enter our lesson then, and ask a very important question, what about the dinosaurs? See, there are those that claim to be educated that will tell you and me, dinosaurs lived millions and millions and millions of years ago. Then you come to a place like this, a place of worship, and you might hear the preacher or a Bible teacher say, you know, the earth and everything on it's only about 6,000 to 8,000 years old. And you immediately see a conflict. But those who are saying that the universe is millions and millions and even billions of years old, they seem to be so educated. No, they're not nearly as educated as what they think. When you become more educated than God, your education is wrong. And God Almighty tells us how we got here. And it's in harmony with every scientific law there is. Because, as we mentioned earlier, He who gives the laws of science also gave to you and me the inspired Word of God. And He does not contradict Himself. So what about the dinosaurs? Do you realize that the first dinosaur ever discovered was the Iguanodon? It was found in 1822. Now think about this. If you'd have lived in America or anywhere, prior to 1822, nobody would have asked you, what about the dinosaurs? Because they didn't know anything about the dinosaurs as such. So notice, the Iguanodon was discovered. It was found in 1822. By Gideon Mantell. Actually, his wife found it. He got credit for it. Later, Sir Richard Owen, a famous paleontologist, gave the dinosaurs their name. Dinosaur means, now look at this thing, terrible lizard. If you look at the size and shape of some of the dinosaurs, you'll understand why this name is so fitting. So in 1822, the first dinosaur was discovered. God wants us to look at His natural revelation and see His divine nature and power. You can't help but say how great Thou art when you see a creature like this. But this little creature here is more important. This one's made in the very image of God Almighty. And so when you look at what God has made, it's amazing. Remember, God teaches us through His Word, but He also teaches us through His world. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17 shows us that God teaches us through His Word. When we're told all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But now watch, if you will, Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Now watch this. So that they are without excuse. God Almighty says anybody that looks at His creation, that looks at the universe, and does not conclude there's a supreme being behind it, is without excuse. Here I am. If I exist, I know God exists. How do I know that? Wesley, where did you come from? I came from my mom and dad. Where did they come from? Their moms and dad. Where did they come from? Their moms and dad. You can't have moms and dads all the way back, folks. You got to start with that first man and woman somewhere. And you ask, how did they get here? Then you come up with what is known as a non-contingent being, which means that there's a being so great that He holds within Himself the secret of self-existence. That's God. That's the God you love, the God you serve. The God I love, the God I serve. And the Bible says that if we fail to look at this universe and conclude that He is, that we are without excuse. Now notice there's an overwhelming amount of evidence of dinosaurs' existence. Some people have said God just put those things in the rocks to trick us. The bones. Can you believe that? I know two elders that have affirmed dinosaurs never lived. They admit the bones are in the rocks, but they claim those bones are in the rocks simply because God is testing your faith and God is testing my faith. Listen, friends, God is not a liar. Those bones are in the rocks. Those fossils are there because dinosaurs really lived. Listen to me, young folks. Dinosaurs are real. They really lived. God created them. We believe in them. We got to find out more things about them, as we'll see in a moment, so that we can see when they lived and so forth. But God does not lie, according to Titus 1:2. Do you think the God of truth put tricks and lies in the rocks? So the evolutionists could use those against you and me to try to destroy our faith? No, God does not do that. You can see lots of dinosaur skeletons in museums all over the world. All you got to do, if you want to go see real evidence, is go to some of the museums where they have the skeletons of dinosaurs that they have taken from the fossil record. Dinosaurs actually roam the face of this earth. There's too much evidence. There's no doubt about that. But now here's the problem. What is fact and what is interpretation? It is a fact, folks, that the fossil remains are found. Fossilized eggs and bones, footprints, whole skeletons, mummified bodies, even skin. But now here's where the problem arises when it comes to interpretation about dinosaurs. When they lived. See, the evolutionists want to say millions and millions and millions of years ago. All right, we need their evidence. Not just words. We need evidence. How they died, they got all kinds of guesses. The details about their bodies, in some cases they do not know. Now we want to see what we can learn from what has been discovered. Now here's what they do. They come to a rock formation, and maybe within a rock formation they find bones, a dinosaur, and then they start to reason this way. Well, this rock formation is some 300 million years old, and therefore that dinosaur that we found in this rock formation has to be at least 300 million years old. Well, how do you know the rocks are that old? Because we found a 300 million year old dinosaur in it. Yeah, but how do you know the dinosaur is that old? Because it was in a 300 million year old rock. Circular reasoning. You and I have got to be smart enough not to let them buy with that, folks. We're not going to let them buy with it. Now, I want you to look at the problem they got. Let's say this has just been spoken into existence by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we happen to be standing here and we see those rocks. The very second they're spoken into existence, how old would you understand those rocks to be? Oh, you might guess those things are thousands and thousands and maybe millions and millions of years old. No, just a few seconds old, just a few minutes old, right after He spoke them into existence, because you see, they were put here fully mature and developed. That's free the very moment the Lord spoke it into existence. How old would you understand it to be? Well, it may be 30, 40, 50 years old. Nope. Look how far you missed it. And let's suppose Adam and Eve walked out from behind those rocks and we saw them on day number 6 when they were created. How old would you guess them to be? Oh, they're 30 or 40 years old probably. No, they're just part of a day old. Now, that's the dilemma that scientists are in when they try to give dates to rocks. These things were put here fully mature. All dates are just someone's best guess. Rocks are facts. Dates are interpretation. We're going to deal with facts and show you some things. Now, here's the problem, young folks. Now, watch this. I want you to get this. You may have some of these books at home that talk about dinosaurs. And they start out oftentimes something like this. Millions of years ago, when much of the world was warm and swampy, strange-looking reptiles called dinosaurs roamed the earth. Notice how it's written, as if though it's fact. Millions of years ago, just like that's provable, not only can they not prove it, we're going to demonstrate clearly it's wrong. And we can know it's wrong. Now we know dinosaurs live. That's right. But they're wrong when it comes to when they live. I want you to notice, dinosaurs roamed the earth millions of years ago on all the continents, according to evolutionists. That's what they tell us. Now, here are their geological columns, and we got them laying down. We'll stand them up in a minute. Here's the Triassic period when dinosaurs allegedly evolved. And they move from here into the Jurassic period. Remember the movies, Jurassic Park? It's not called that by accident, folks. It's a period of time in which they affirm that dinosaurs lived. Then they claim they come over to the Cretaceous period, and then, for reasons unknown, and they'll take some guesses, dinosaurs go extinct. And this is 65 million years before people come on the scene. We're going to demonstrate to you clearly tonight that's false. That is not true. It is not in harmony with the facts. Now, I want you to look at their geological columns. Young folks, you have to memorize these usually in school somewhere along the way. There's only one place on the face of the earth that you can find these columns. Just one. Possibly two. The first place is in textbooks. The second place is in the imaginations of the men that drew the columns. Those columns exist nowhere on the face of the earth. Nowhere. I got an entire lesson I do on the fossil record. And in that lesson, we explode this thing and we collapse it completely to show how false it truly is. Up here's man. Do you realize that there is a footprint of a man stepping on a trilobite that's fossilized? You tell me how a man is supposed to live about 500 million years after the trilobites managed to step on one of them. Not only that, do you realize there are footprints of men and dinosaurs in the same fossilized riverbed? How did that happen? Do you realize in what they call the Cambrian period, they got what they call the Cambrian explosion? And they say, we can't explain it, but it looks like that life just, boom, came on the scene. We didn't explain it. We didn't explain it within 6 days, because that's how fast it came on the scene. And so we have no problem with that. But here is their so-called geologic column, and you can see that it will not stand, and I just wanted to show that to you briefly, but I want you to notice. Look at the age difference between man and dinosaurs. Millions of years, and we showed that to you on the other chart that we had laying down. Now, when someone says that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, listen to me, young folks. They're calling Jesus Christ a liar. You keep that in mind. They're calling the Lord a liar. When they say millions of years ago, dinosaurs did X, whatever dinosaurs allegedly did, according to them. We ask the question, how can scientists prove the aforementioned statement? They cannot. That is a wild assertion, not proof at all. But they're calling Jesus a liar. Let me show you how they're calling Jesus a liar. And it's a serious thing to call him a liar. In the beginning was the Word. Now that was Jesus before he came to earth. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Listen to me, young folks. If Jesus made all things, guess what he made? Dinosaurs. Jesus made the dinosaurs. And if anybody knows anything about the dinosaurs, guess who it is? It's Jesus. He knows about the dinosaurs. And we'll see that in just a minute. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Notice, he made everything. Nothing exists unless Jesus Christ made it. So you got to keep that in mind. Now, with that in mind, as we go to Genesis, where the creation account is found, in Genesis 2, 19 and 20, I want you to watch this. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Now, if he formed every beast of the field, guess what's included in that? The dinosaurs, they're included in that. And every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. If all created creatures were brought to Adam for Adam to name, guess what Adam got to see? A dinosaur. I know that based on what the Word of God says. So notice, the Bible says, and every fowl of the air brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So every creature that Jesus created was brought in front of Adam. And Adam saw them, and Adam named them. And I know that dinosaurs lived with man, because Jesus created all things. And now all these things that were created are brought before Adam, and Adam names them. Now let's talk about fossils for just a moment. You young people have probably seen a fossil of some kind. Now, notice, how does something become a fossil? The word fossil means dug up. Something dug up. A plant or animal must be buried quickly. The animal or plant must be converted into stone. All right, if a fossil is something, by the way, fossils don't just happen, folks. If you've got a dog out here that dies on top of the ground, he's going to rot. He's not going to be fossilized. You have to have some kind of catastrophe to have a fossil. Now, if that dog is walking by a bank and the bank falls in on him, good chance he'll be fossilized. There's a good chance that can occur. So, fossils don't just happen. Notice, you've got to have a lot of water and mud that will cover things like a dinosaur and trees and everything that's lived. Now you tell me how in the world you're going to cover up a 100-ton dinosaur. Suppose we're in here and I'm presenting the lesson and I look out through there and I see Argentinosaurus walking by and he drops dead. And I say, Ron, we're going to have to move that baby. Now, if you don't mind, bury him. Can you imagine what job that would be to bury a 100-ton dinosaur? Well, let's say you don't want to bury him. Just get him off the parking lot. Can you imagine trying to remove 100 tons of fat and bone? Man, that would take a while, wouldn't it? You know, that's a pretty big job if you've ever lived on a farm to bury a cow that died or a mule or a horse. That's not the easiest thing in the world. But a huge dinosaur? What in the world can you think of that would have buried huge dinosaurs all over the earth? I know something real good that could have got the job done. The Genesis flood. Genesis 6 through 8. Now when you start taking all the evidence, it starts fitting beautifully. Who knows what's buried right in this area? Do you realize you're standing in a place where Bible history took place? Because the entire earth was covered by water. No telling how deep the water was here at one time during the Genesis flood. And no telling what's buried in this area if we only knew. And every time they dig coal out of the ground in this area or anywhere else, they're digging up that which was covered to a large degree during the Genesis flood. We call it fossil fuels. Well, where did it come from? How did all that vegetation get covered? Just all of a sudden. Well, it was the Genesis flood. So you got to have some way to cover these huge dinosaurs. Now, briefly, let me just introduce you to some of the dinosaurs. By the way, we'll get to this a little bit later. Do you realize, and I'm sure we've not found all of them, there are over 700 different kinds of dinosaurs that's already been found. 700 different kinds. Here's Troglodon. Now, if you look at Troglodon, if I should ask you what Troglodon kind of looks like, he kind of looks like a bird. That's going to be important here in a minute. And many scientists believe he is extremely smart because he's got a large brain. Notice the way his claws are made. He's got digits on this side and one on this side, kind of like a hand, so that he can grip things. Then here's the one all of y'all know about, the young people, I'm sure, T-Rex. Tyrannosaurus Rex. Tyrant Lizard King. That's what that means. And he's supposed to be fierce. Now, here's where interpretation comes from scientists. Just because he's got a lot of fierce-looking teeth doesn't really mean he's all that fierce. It could well be the case, and probably was. I don't know. We don't know that. But anyway, you can see how he would compare standing next to a 6-foot man. He'd get up to over 40 feet tall. And of course, T-Rex, as I mentioned a moment ago, is one of the ones that people know the most about. Parasaurolophus. Now, I want you to remember him. Here's an unusual creature. From right here to right here on a full-grown Parasaurolophus, about 6 feet. These are hollow tubes right here. And the scientists have been trying to figure out what those tubes might have been used for. I'm going to give you a suggestion in just a moment as we continue our lesson. Brachiosaurus. Now, if you look at him, his front legs are taller than his hind legs, which makes him take on the appearance of a giraffe. Now, when I was in school, young folks, here's what I was taught. They taught survival of the fittest. And they said, well, all the vegetations down low, all the vegetation started to die. So the giraffe, because he had a long neck, he made it. That's survival of the fittest. All right, if he could make it, because he had a long neck. Tell me why he couldn't make it. He's got a long neck. Survival of the fittest won't work. And we got a lesson we do on that to show how false that is as well. I just want to introduce you to some of these preachers. Stegosaurus. Now notice, Stegosaurus was a large dinosaur, the size of an elephant. But watch this. It had a brain no larger than a golf ball. I've met some gospel preachers, I think, like that. You know, you probably met some yourself that had a brain, seemingly no larger than a golf ball. But boy, I look back over at these spikes. If you got to messing with him, all you had to do is bring that tail around, and you'd be in trouble because of his design. Triceratops. Now, Triceratops means three-horned face. There's his three horns. Now, Triceratops looked strong and tough. It had three horns that were really sharp, and it got somewhere between 25 and 30 feet long, about 9.5 feet tall. Diplodocus. Diplodocus was an enormous dinosaur, grew as long as 100 feet. But what's amazing, from about right here to right here, you only got about 13 feet. Most of it was neck and his long tail. They came in all sizes, shapes and sizes, ranging from the size of a chicken. Did y'all realize that some dinosaurs were no bigger than a chicken? From the size of a chicken to over 100 feet long, the Compsognathus weighed about 6 pounds, while the giant sauropods could weigh as much as several tons when fully grown. Now, I want you to remember some things here, young folks. On this chart, I want you to remember this statement right here. The average size was about the size of a small pony. The average size of a dinosaur would only have been about yay big. Oh, there were some huge ones. And there were some little bitty ones. But the average size, about the size of a pony. Seismosaurus and Argentinosaurus were about 100 feet long and weighed about 100 tons. Now, there are your biggest. Can you imagine seeing something 100 feet long out there that weighed 100 tons walk through? The blue whale weighs about 200 tons. Argentinosaurus, 100 tons. Brachiosaurus, 80 tons. Ultrasaurus, 55 tons. T-Rex, 8 tons. And the African elephant, about 5 tons. Now that you might realize, in comparison to the huge dinosaurs like Argentinosaurus, how big it would really be if you walked upon it? It would be about the size of 14 school buses. Now, can you imagine walking upon something that large? Keep that in mind, because when we go to the Bible in a minute, you're going to see some scriptures along that line. Now, here's little Tommy. He's seated in a fossilized dinosaur track. Now, that was a biggie. If little Tommy would have been there when that fellow put his foot down, little Tommy would be a greasy spot. That's all little Tommy would be. Because you can see that that was a huge dinosaur. Now, why teach about dinosaurs? Because Satan's using them to spread his lie of evolution and keep people from the truth. And Satan has done so good doing this that so-called gospel preachers have started preaching things like the gap theory, theistic evolution, the day-age theory. I can give you some names of some big-name gospel preachers that you would all recognize, big in the brotherhood, that's endorsed at least one of those points. Because they believe that the Bible and what I'm presenting here tonight will not harmonize. And it's in perfect harmony. But they've been scared to death with so-called science. No, it's science falsely so-called. You either believe God on the way He created things or you don't. It's one way or the other. Christians are confused about where dinosaurs fit in history and compromise the Bible. That's what I mentioned a moment ago. They start compromising by coming up with all these theories, trying to get God out of a jam. God's not in a jam. Not at all. Listen, prior to this lesson, and of course we're not through yet, what would you have said if somebody would ask you about the dinosaurs? How would you explain the dinosaurs? I want you to be able to explain the dinosaurs based on the Word of God. If you get nothing else out of this lesson, tell them this. I know that the beast of the field and man both were made on day number 6. So I know the dinosaurs and man are exactly the same age. I know that. If you get nothing else out of the lesson, I want you to at least get that. Notice, they are a great evangelistic tool to reach the lost with the gospel. Anywhere I preach on the dinosaurs, usually that's the biggest crowd of any gospel meeting. Adults want to know about it. Young people want to know about the dinosaurs. We owe it to the people in the world to present the truth on this subject. God created those dinosaurs. Like this point here says, God should get the glory for His creation. Don't let the evolutionists have the dinosaurs and run rampant with the dinosaurs. They're wonderful creatures. Well, let's use them to the glory of God and not let the evolutionists destroy the faith of our young people. Now, are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Now, if dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible, you ought to be able to take little Junior and set him on the arm of the chair, get your Bible down, and read about dinosaurs. Let me give you a little homework. Tonight, when you go home, get you a good concordance. Look up the word dinosaur. And then read every scripture to your child on dinosaur. Or dinosaurs. It won't take you long. Because it's not in there. You're not going to find the word dinosaur in the Bible. Why? Here's why. You got to understand this, folks. The word dinosaur was invented by Sir Richard Owen in 1841. Before that time, they, speaking of dinosaurs, were known as dragons and other names. The New Testament was written in the first century. Notice, the New Testament was written nearly 1,800 years before that word was ever coined. The King James Version of the Bible was translated in 1611. That's over 200 years before that word was ever coined. That's why you're not going to find the word dinosaur in your Bible. Some people conclude, well, if dinosaur is not in the Bible, then apparently God didn't know anything about the dinosaur. Listen, cat's not in the Bible. Kangaroo's not in the Bible. But you know who created the cat and the kangaroo? God Almighty through His Son Jesus. And you know who created the dinosaurs? God Almighty through His Son Jesus. So notice, there's a reason the word dinosaur is not in your Bible. It's a new word. It wasn't used back then. We're going to show you the thought of the dinosaur being in the Bible in just a moment. Now watch this. What does the word dinosaur mean? Terrible lizard. How many kinds of dinosaurs have been found? About 700. Now, if I can go to the Bible and find anything that falls into the category of terrible lizard, regardless of the name attributed to it, I've found a dinosaur or a dinosaur-like creature. And we're going to find you a couple of them in just a minute. There are more. So we ask the question again, are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? We contend yes, at least the great possibility of such. Watch this. The behemoth. That's what it was called in Job 40, 15 through 24. Which I made with thee, whatever this huge creature is, as we'll see in a moment, was made with man. Well, we know that's got to be true based on what said happened on day number 6. He eateth grass as an ox, verse 15. His strength is in his loins. Watch this. He moveth his tail like a cedar. This thing's got a huge tail that he swings around like a cedar tree. Whatever this creature is, his balls are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. Now, if you're where you can look at your Bible, if you wish, right in most Bibles, they got a little footnote. And the footnote says that it's probably an elephant. Now, you look at that tail. Does that tail look like a cedar to you? You can cut that baby off right there and give it to a mad mother and it wouldn't even make a good switch. Well, that's not a cedar. You're smarter than that. And some Bibles say hippopotamus. Does that tail look like a cedar? No, that tail doesn't look like a cedar. Not at all. Well, some Bibles will say alligator or crocodile. We're going to show you that won't work in a moment as we continue to look at these creatures. Notice as we go on looking at this description of this beast, whatever it is, he is the chief of the ways of God. Now, what animal would you speak of as saying he is the chief of the ways of God? Whatever this thing is, that's what he is. He that made him can make his sword approach unto him. See, God can approach him, but everybody else better be careful. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. This thing is so huge, when it takes a drink, it's like drinking up a river. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. That's a pretty big animal of some kind. So Job affirms many fascinating truths about Behemoth and Leviathan. Also found in the book of Job, chapter 41, verses 1 through 34. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Whatever this huge animal is, just to see him would bring you to your knees, so to speak. Can you imagine running upon Argentinosaurus out there somewhere? 100-ton dinosaur. I believe that'd bring you to your knees, so to speak. So the sight of it would scare a person. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Whatever this huge creature is, you don't mess with him. You don't stir him up. You don't get him angry. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. Out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out. This thing is fire breathing. Notice, out of his nostrils go a smoke as out of a seething pot or a cauldron. Do you realize that most and nearly all ancient civilizations tell stories about fire-breathing dragons? Nearly every one of them. And I contend the Bible affirms it's true. Now, you remember a moment ago I threw out a possibility about these things, these holotubes here I wanted to put before you in Parasauropus. What if these tubes were filled with chemicals? One chemical one side, one the other, and is spewed forth by this dinosaur. It created a flame-like substance. You say, that's stupid. No, that's not stupid, folks. It already happens with the bombardier beetle. That's a fact. We know that's a fact. The bombardier beetle has two little tubes back here with one chemical here and one chemical over here. When an enemy gets close, it excretes those chemicals and they explode in the face of the enemy. God designed it that way. Now, listen to me, young folks. If it evolved, no telling how many little beetles had to blow up before he got it right. Now, you think about that. Boom! Too powerful. You know, I got to tone this down. No, this shows great design. Now, how in the world can a little fellow like this evolve with a chamber here and a chamber there, one chemical here and one chemical there, and the chemicals just right, so when they're secreted, it causes an explosion? God Almighty did that through His Son, Jesus. So we know that it's possible that that can occur. Now, I want you to notice the argument that Job's making with this huge animal, whatever it is. In Job 41:10, none is so fierce that dare stir him up. You don't dare go out here and stir up one of these animals, these huge animals, whatever they be. And I contend they're dinosaurs. Who then is able to stand before me? If you can't take on one of these animals, then who do you think you are trying to take me on? That's God's attitude. And boy, that's right. If you and I can't whip a dinosaur, we better not take God on, thinking that we can do him in. Notice as we go back to Job 41, beginning with verse number 21. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. Whatever this creature is, if he's laying down out here in the forest somewhere, and we walk upon him and he raises himself up, notice, even the mighty are afraid when that thing raises up in one's presence. We're talking about some kind of huge creature. He esteemeth iron as straw. This thing is so huge and got such protective plates. Why, he esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. We're talking about a huge animal. The arrow cannot make him flee. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. This thing is so big, when it gets in water and starts to churn that water, it looks like it's boiling, just like a pot that would be boiling. He makes the path to shine after him. If he walks through your garden, you can hang it up, because it's destroyed. That's how big this thing is. Notice, upon earth there is none his like. You can't say that about a crocodile. You can't say that about an alligator. You can't say that about an elephant or a hippo. But you can say it about a dinosaur. Upon earth there is none his like. Notice, he beholdeth all high things. Whatever this is so big, he beholds all high things. Now, if that's not a description and a good one of a dinosaur, I wouldn't recognize it if I saw it. Now, the question is, when did dinosaurs live? Now, we're going to go back to the Bible. Watch this. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. Now, listen, young folks, don't you forget this. God makes everything after its own kind. If you've got dogs, and you want to raise dogs, you got to breed dogs. Same way with cats. Cats always brings forth cats. Now, if your wife is expecting, I don't care how well you like puppies, you're not going to get one. You're going to get a little human being, because everything brings forth after its own kind. Notice then, and every creeping thing upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Notice, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All beasts and cattle made after their own kind were made on the sixth day, and that's when man was made. And remember what Job said about this creature, whatever it is, and man? Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Even if behemoth is not a dinosaur, I know this. I know dinosaurs were created on day number 6, and he made dinosaurs with man. I know that, based on the testimony of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Now, if dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible, what happened to them? And that's a good question. What happened to the dinosaurs? Well, some scientists say what happened. A meteorite struck the earth, and a huge cloud of dust came up, and it concealed the sun from the earth, and the vegetation died, and so the dinosaurs died. Well, not only would the dinosaurs have died, everything else would have died. So that won't work, and they've pretty well given up on that. Well, they say what happened? The oxygen level dropped so low in the environment that the dinosaurs started to die off because of a lack of oxygen. And if you and I would have been back there with an oxygen tank, we could have saved some of them. No, we're convinced that's not what happened to them either. Now, some of these things no doubt happened. This is not what eliminated them. I'm convinced of that. I believe man did kill off some of the dinosaurs, some for meat, and some because they were a menace, and some trying to be a hero, trying to save the village from the old dragon. And man tried to prove his superiority over the dragon or dinosaur. Well, now scientists have a brilliant idea. They say, well, what happened? We still got the dinosaurs with us. What happened? The dinosaurs evolved into birds. That's what happened to the dinosaurs. At least some of the dinosaurs evolved into birds. Remember my little chart? Here you got the Triassic period where the dinosaurs allegedly evolved, which they did not. And then they started to evolve into birds. Well, How in the world do you teach a dinosaur to fly? See, now that's the problem. How do you get a dinosaur to fly? Well, you can sprout feathers on him, get him up on a high place, and you can shove him off. Now, he's not going to want to go because he's never flown before. You say, that's stupid. Sure, it's stupid. I put it up there because it's stupid. Just like it's stupid to say dinosaurs evolved into birds. That's stupid. That's the reason I put it up there. See, when he jumps off, he's going to hit the ground. Oh, and that hurts. And he's going to smarten up, and he's going to think. Now, here's what they tell you. They told me this in school. If he keeps jumping off enough, and he keeps hitting and smashing that little belly, he's going to start to sprout wings because he knows it hurts. Now, you're talking about stupidity gone to seed. Now, that is stupidity gone to seed. And possibly he could watch some other people or little creatures flying around, not people. See these little creatures flying around and say, hey, maybe I could do that if I keep practicing. No, he can practice from now on. He's not going to do that. Now, wouldn't I be dumb to say, you ever thought about flying? Go get on a bluff, jump off. Now, it'll hurt the first few times. But after a while, you'll smarten up, say, it's going to continue to hurt if I don't sprout wings. Well, you're not going to sprout wings. You can forget that. Now, let me show you, I'm not making this stuff up. This is right out of a biology book, 1994. Although dinosaurs are extinct, descendants of small, insect-eating dinosaurs are still with us today. These descendants are the birds, which evolved about 150 million years ago. Bird feathers evolved from the same scales that protected the dinosaurs so well, to which we say hogwash. Remember, young people, what I told you? Remember the verses I told you to remember? Everything brings forth after its own kind. A dinosaur will always bring forth a dinosaur. And if you find a bird's nest and it's got eggs in it, guess what those eggs are going to become? Birds! Because God is telling us the truth that everything brings forth after its own kind. Well, what happened to the dinosaurs? We're convinced the truth lies in the Genesis flood. We know that the majority of them were buried because of the huge flood. And we are also convinced that they were on the ark. Now, let me show you how I know that. And I'm convinced that's true. If it is true that we got dinosaurs buried all over the earth, and we do, and if it took some huge catastrophe to bury them, and it did, I am convinced that catastrophe was the worldwide flood. If it was the worldwide flood, you know what that means? The dinosaurs were alive when the flood came. If they were alive and they breathed through their nostrils, Noah was told to take two of every kind onto the ark. So Noah had to take two of every kind. Watch. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort. Listen to me, young people. You know why you had to take two? Male, female, God is honoring a law He put into force. Everything brings forth after its own kind. He honored that, even during the flood. That's why it took a male and a female to go onto the ark. So two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. If that's right, and a huge catastrophe buried dinosaurs literally all over this earth, and we know that's true, then I'm convinced the dinosaurs had to be alive when the flood hit. If they were alive when the flood hit, then two of them had to be on that ark. And there's no way around that. No way around that at all. So, we can show by the evidence that something had to cover these huge dinosaurs up, and the only thing that could have covered them up is the Genesis flood. But how in the world do you get a dinosaur on the ark? That's what everybody asks. You need to tell me, Wesley, dinosaurs were on the ark. How would Noah got it on there? Now, I told you to remember something a moment ago. The average size of a dinosaur was the size of a small pony. Do you believe elephants were on that ark? I do. Hippos? Yeah. Giraffes? You better believe it. Well, if they were on there, why would it be hard to get two dinosaurs about yay size on there? Wouldn't be hard at all. And if you wanted to take the big ones, you don't have to take a full grown, take the little babies before they grow up. That's no problem. Take two baby elephants. That'd be a lot easier than taking two grown elephants on the ark. Now watch again. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land. So everything that breathed through its nostrils had to be on that ark. And this says the same thing, that they had to be on that ark. All right. What are you saying then, Wesley? What happened? Well, according to Genesis 1:7, and I'm sorry that doesn't show up better than that, there was a canopy of water around the earth prior to the flood. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now, because of that water canopy, mankind and animals were protected. They were protected in a very special way. And the longer a reptile lives, the bigger it gets. And not only that, with that water canopy protecting mankind, the longer he's going to live. When you look at the book of Genesis, the average age before the flood was 912 years of age. That is so fascinating. I've had people ask me, Wesley, do you really believe these people lived that long? Do you really believe that Methuselah, for instance, right here was 969 years old? Folks, I believe it with all my heart. Yeah, but those weren't ordinary months and days and years, right? No, they were years and months and days just like we have. Do you realize, according to the chronology of all this, that Methuselah died the year of the flood? That doesn't mean he died in the flood. He could have died before the flood hit. But he died the year of the flood. Do you know right after the flood, when men got off that ark, look at the short lifespans. Something happened. They didn't live that long anymore. What happened? That canopy of water was dropped. The ultraviolet rays and other harmful rays started to hit mankind and animals alike. And that shortened the lives of each. That's what happened. It happened with man. It happened with the dinosaurs. That being true, after the flood, things on earth changed. Dinosaurs could not live as long in the changed environment. Therefore, they disappeared from the sea. Things started to go downhill for them, and they soon disappeared from the sea. Like many animals that go extinct. You know, that's not anything unusual at all. Now, we asked a question. Did dinosaurs become extinct 65 million years ago? No. This universe is not that old. Not at all. Listen to me, young folks. When your teacher stands before you and tells you this universe is 6 billion years old, they're giving up. They may not realize it. If I was debating an evolutionist and he told me the universe was 6 billion years old, I'd thank him. Thank you, sir. You just gave up. The universe, that's everything. It's 6 billion years old, according to you. What happened 6 billion years ago plus 1 second? You'd have nothing. And if you ever get back to where you got nothing, guess what you're going to have? Nothing, and I'd prove that with my savings account. If you ever have nothing, that's what you're going to have in there. Absolutely nothing. Don't let them scare you with those big numbers. They're not true. So I want you to notice, dinosaurs did not become extinct 65 million years ago. Did dinosaurs live the same time as people? Yes. How do you know, Wesley? Let me hurriedly go through this. Many traditions of large dinosaur-like creatures, I got chart after chart after chart I could have presented. That's on record from different nations where dinosaurs lived with men. And I believe that with all my heart. Ancient drawings called petroglyphs have been drawn of dinosaurs. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. possible human footprints with dinosaur prints. Not just possible, I'm convinced it's true. And dinosaur bones that are not fossilized, they found some where it's actually got the blood in it. You see, they've not been gone all that long. Now, if they've been gone for millions and millions and millions of years, you're not going to find any blood in those bones, I guarantee you. Here you got the Paluxy River bed in Glen Rose, Texas. You got dinosaur tracks, human tracks side by side. Here you see the dinosaur, there you can see the human. And here is a mold of that human footprint. And no doubt some of it stretched out because of the soft mud. Here you see the stride of this individual. Running after the dinosaur, or more than likely, running from the dinosaur. That's probably the way it is, because they're right there together. Now, here's a petroglyph. Notice, if you will, that on a cave in America, this was found. And I want you to notice that drawing. Here's Edmontosaurus. And I want you to notice how perfect it is. You know what the scientists say about that? They don't know what to say about it. Lucky guess. Lucky guess. To get all the details just right. You know what? I'm convinced that whoever drew that saw that and was able to draw it. Man and dinosaurs live together. Were dinosaurs on the ark? Yes, we've shown you why. Why were they on the ark? Because of the disobedience of man. Because man was disobedient to God Almighty. Dinosaurs suffered. Trees suffered. Plants suffered. And humanity suffered. But you know, people still won't listen to God. Listen to me, young folks. We got to love God and do what God says. And God sees we got ourselves in a mess because of sin. And God loved us enough, He gave His Son on Calvary's cross, so that you and I can be saved and go home to be with Him. You know, as we look at dinosaurs, aren't they amazing? Aren't they fascinating? But do you know what? As fascinating and as amazing as they are, God Almighty made you the crowning point of His creation. God views you as superior to any dinosaur that's ever lived, because you're made in the very image of God. And from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, there'll never be a time when you'll cease to exist. You're that much like God Almighty. And He wants you to come home and be with Him. And then in heaven, who knows, maybe we can ask Him more about these wonderful creatures known as dinosaurs.